Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ever since high school, my grandma has been promising me if I played hard and I didn't get hurt, she's been promising me $5 and a chocolate bar.
I had breasts in elementary school.
So today was just another day where I just went out there and I said, you know what, I got to play hard.
Let's go!
Dale Arnold.
Pitch to Devers. High, deep, right field. Around the pesky pole and gone! Take all my money now.
Great cash, homie.
Rich Key.
I do want to bring up Josh Gordon. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope.
Not at all.
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Dale and Keith. Middays.
Dale and Keith.
Fat Chance.
With Keith, baby.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. Rich is back, baby.
That's right, Dale. Good to be back.
He is. You don't really mean that.
It's fine to be back.
It's okay to be back. Oh, they pay me if I come back?
Well,
good to be back.
I wouldn't miss this day for the world, though. Josh Gordon is back. That means I'm back. I wouldn't sit this one out.
Similar. Andy Hart is here as well. Happy to have him join us on a Patriots Monday down here at Gillette.
Sort of. We sure are.
So here's the other question I have for you lads.
All right.
Based on what we've seen in, you know, let's be honest, limited sample size so far, Jarrett Stidham doesn't look out of place as an NFL quarterback yet, does he?
No, I thought the other night wasn't quite as good as the first performance. He saw a little higher-end talent, I think, on the other side of the ball.
Holy smokes.
The Lions were a debacle.
The Lions were the Baltimore Orioles of the NFL.
That performance started the over-under on Matt Patricia's
tenure. Oh, he's done this year. Anyway.
And everybody came out of the Titans game sort of praising, pumping the tires of Stidham. He did his best to throw multiple interceptions.
Oh, there should have been a pick six for sure.
There could have been a 99-yard pick six and then like a 50-yard pick six.
Yeah.
That never happened. Then he had a throwaway where the guy actually caught it but dove and hit the white out of bounds. And I give him credit. You know what I really liked? Whew, got lucky on a couple throws there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just honest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Don't pretend anything other than you screwed up, let's learn from it.
Yeah,
like
that
forward.
Was the plan all along. You know,
right.
I knew how tall the corner was, and I could just fit
but
it over the top.
Is he further along than a Ryan Mallett or a Jacoby Brissett or some of those guys? Yes.
A Jimmy Garoppolo at this stage of his preseason.
Well, I would say they're similar.
What's interesting to me is this is a comment that Belichick actually told us a couple years ago, Dale, when before they had traded Garoppolo, and he had made a comment about how he felt they had one of the best quarterback positions in the league, or quarterback depth in the league. And he said for the last 3 years. And what that meant was it was really starting in Jimmy Garoppolo's second year.
Right.
He felt that way. So even as a rookie, yeah, he's a second-round pick. We're going to see what we have in him. But as far as QB depth across football, he didn't feel like he had that advantage until year two, which is sort of the path, I think, for, at least for Belichick.
Right.
Not everybody does that. Plenty of teams are going to have to start rookies, and some are going to be fine with it. But I think in Belichick's mind, you get a whole year under the system, and then that year two jump, even if you're not playing every Sunday, just being with the team all year, that's where you can really see the improvement.
We talked about this, you know, going into training camp, and we said, you know, the next quarterback of the Patriots isn't here yet. And he might not be. I don't know. But the point I made to Rich at the time was I would have said that when Tom Brady started as well. I didn't have any idea. Hell, they didn't have any idea.
No chance.
And I'm not suggesting, by the way, that Jarrett Stidham is Tom Brady. My point is, I don't know if he's a capable NFL quarterback yet. I don't have any idea.
Nor do they.
But he might be.
And the biggest thing with Bill, sort of what you're referencing, Rich, is has nothing to do with after the snap and the production of the offense. It's all pre-snap. It's
all down there in those meeting rooms right now, too.
And it's, can I trust you to command the huddle? Then we get to the line of scrimmage. Everybody's lined up right. The protection is right. The adjustment, the audible, whatever the defense does, all of that. All that pre-snap stuff. And he used to say that in our preseason production meetings. When Garoppolo was here, Brady and Garoppolo are the same in that. He wasn't saying Garoppolo was going to lead him to a Super Bowl and make the key throw in the fourth quarter to win the Super Bowl. He was saying
no.
The mechanics, the technical aspects of the offense, getting the play in,
right, all the
getting to the line of scrimmage, yeah, and then snapping the ball, they were the same. And not a lot of young guys can do that.
There's, no, definitely not.
You know, they look over, they're like, is that guy supposed to be over there? I'm not really
sure.
Well,
and that's the biggest problem, because once you make it to the NFL, even if you're a preseason quarterback, once you make it there, your arm strength, usually check, right?
Yeah.
Arm accuracy, give or take, check. Right. You know, height, weight, speed, all that stuff for Stidham is clearly there. So if he can get it, if he can grasp the offense and have, you know, a command of it, again, not to the Tom Brady level, but at least to the, you know, a level lower.
Can we erase that from our heads?
Yeah, that's not a thing.
That's
the next
and it's also not fair.
It's not fair. The next
can he do it to the Eli Manning level?
Yeah.
Can he do it to... You know, who do you think is the 17th best quarterback in the NFL? Start there.
Well, let's make it. Let's
check
make
my
it
rankings.
Let's make it an even easier question. Would Bill Belichick be comfortable with Jarrett Stidham as the backup to Tom Brady?
Right now, I'm leaning towards no. I still, because you're basically asking a roster question. Do they need to keep Brian Hoyer around? That's basically the question you're asking.
Exactly.
Little cross promotion.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Go head on over to WEEI.com, where Ryan Hannibal and Andy Hart, who are the hosts of the Off Day podcast.
Oh my God, this is the whole thing.
Off Day Pod.
Let me stop you right now. You can only plug the article or the podcast.
Can't
not
plug
both.
Okay, at Off Day Pod, we'll be recording after this show. We'll be talking about our roster projection that's over on WEEI.com.
So I think
I have three quarterbacks right now. I'm still keeping three. That's not Bill's way of late,
no,
but I'm still keeping three.
I would keep two just because of some of the other positions you're going to want extras of,
yep,
whether it be a corner, whether it be an offensive lineman, a running back, whatever it might be. I'm keeping two, and I've always had the thought, if Brady goes down, you're screwed no matter what. So,
guy is falling.
If Brady goes down, Jarrett
what
Stidham,
difference does it make who the backup is?
And not only that, Jarrett Stidham at least has a chance to be the next quarterback. Hoyer does not. So if you need to start and get a few more games of Stidham, I am in favor of that. And also in this doomsday scenario, Brady goes down, you'll end up signing another veteran guy. And guess what? It might even be Hoyer. Might even be available.
That was my working theory heading into camp. I think Hoyer's looked good enough that he'd probably get a job.
He actually has looked good. No,
he's
looked good for what he is.
Other than that one pick the other night, which may
have
been Braxton Berrios' fault.
Yeah.
He's looked really good, and in this league, he might get it. I was hoping, just stay wherever you live, North Attleboro, we'll sign you if we need you. I think he might sign
somewhere
else.
But could Hoyer or Stidham win you a playoff game?
That's a trick question, because I don't think they'd get you to a playoff.
Well, no, but let's say Brady goes down week 15, and it's already, you know, you're already going to the playoffs. You've already won the bad division. You're going to the playoffs, but could either one win a playoff game? I would say no.
Depends the matchup.
Now, maybe, again, bells, whistles, duct tape,
yeah,
and everything.
They play
a really good defense.
Did they play Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last
that's what
January?
So
they have a chance.
Maybe you squeeze out a home game with one of those guys.
Do you
guys
go far?
No, you don't. And that's what I'm saying. If you feel like the whatever the 53rd guy is could give you some sort of advantage somewhere, then that's worth it
like
to me.
Like corner. You brought up
yes.
cornerback.
Yeah.
They have more NFL caliber cornerbacks than roster spots, than jobs.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to keep everybody. And there's going to be somebody who's either going to be traded off this roster or cut off this roster who's going to be playing for somebody.
Right. I hope trade for a tight end. I'm still holding out hope.
Oh,
even though Gronk is coming,
no,
I would
not.
Like to trade for the number two tight end.
No, he's not. But, I mean, I understand Hoyer's that guy who knows the playbook as well as anybody. Like he's like the perfect backup quarterback.
Yep.
But I just think you're screwed if Brady goes down regardless. So
you're... Because I've always sort of questioned that theory. You'd rather throw Stidham out there, see what happens.
Yeah.
You don't have the fear of, Stidham's not ready. Year two jump that you're talking about.
Right.
Year one, he's not ready. Do we crush the kid?
I think you kind of... Now, you remember when Brady was suspended for four games, and then Garoppolo got hurt, and then Brissett goes out there.
Right.
And it was sort of a, you know, one game looked pretty good, one game looked pretty terrible.
Right.
But he had to sort of piece it together, really game plan specific. I think that's what you go with. And also Stidham, I know it's two preseason games, but also going in off of what all the beat writers have said about practice, he's at least far along enough where I think he can be your backup quarterback. Oh, by the way, to one of the most healthy quarterbacks in the history of the league.
Now the other part of the Stidham
52. I said the same thing.
The other part of the Stidham question, which is a larger question here, is that all of a sudden a team that was veteran laden, older roster average age, you know, last year, has got some young kids who look like, you know what, some of these guys can play.
Jacoby Myers, I would say, is atop that list.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, Myers.
But Chase Winovich, I mean, they've got some young guys. Isaiah Wynn.
Well, it's funny. They basically have two draft classes now playing as rookies this year. Because
right.
So many guys were on the IR a year ago, whether it was Braxton Berrios or Isaiah Wynn or whoever.
I'm not sure Derek Rivers will ever survive
poor guy.
Physically.
No, that sucks. Yeah. That's
I was hopeful
shame.
For him. I really thought he was going to have 6 to 8 sacks this year.
But then you look at the draft picks from this year, and it looks like now even if N'Keal Harry isn't exactly where you want him to be, you know, Chase Vinovich and just some of the
Excuse
other
me?
Vinovich. I call him Vinovich. It's close friends call him Vinovich. Juwan Williams, like they got a bunch of guys.
I'm not quite as high on Chase Vinovich as I think the rest of the world is right now.
People are abuzz.
I'll be interested to see what he does when he starts playing higher end talent and, you know, works his way up the depth chart.
But you think he's like a situational guy though, right?
And let me just put it out there. I always think it's better to beat the threes in week one and then beat the twos in week two and work your way up.
Yes.
Rob Ninkovich from the sidelines.
It would be bad if you looked awful.
Right. That's what Rob Ninkovich beats in every week. If you're not making plays against the threes, how do they expect you to make them against the twos?
Right.
So it's great. And you know, I found it funny, this high motor thing that has really taken on a life of its own, that he's a high motor guy. And sometimes we look at that as like cliche draft Nick. He's a short white guy. He's got
that's
a high
that's
motor.
That's all it is.
It was like a racial thing.
Yeah.
Well, Bill Belichick, the first thing he said about Winovich in the postgame press, he's a high motor guy, got a great motor.
All of a sudden you said, you know what?
He's onto something.
Apparently it's a football term now. He tries hard.
But he also already sounds like a Patriot.
Well, he weaves it in and out. He also opened his press conference with some uncomfortable joke
about his grandma.
No, that was actually fine.
I thought it was cool.
He had like a crop top joke. I was going to wear a crop top, but I wanted to have, like, what? I don't know what you're talking about, Blondie.
Well, he wanted to show up. He wanted to be, you know.
He's got this budding feud with Barstool that I think they made nice on.
I don't know.
There's a lot going on with Chase Vinovich.
Yeah.
As Little Dick likes to say.
I was in my crop top, but apparently this isn't the beach, so this is professional environment, so we're going to respect you guys.
He's respecting. Matt Patricia would appreciate that.
Well, the week before, you remember, he came to the podium in full pads. He was still dressed.
I like that, too. He's a gamer. You got to rip the pads off him. One
of
those guys.
Just keep getting to the quarterback, kid.
All right. Yeah, fair enough.
Keep having your high motor revved.
They did a lot of focusing on the telecast on Saturday night, and I was thankful for this, on Isaiah Wynn.
Yes.
And I'm glad they did focus on him a lot because I liked a lot of what I saw.
That's the biggest takeaway from that game. Screw everything else.
Yep.
You found your left tackle, you hope. Scar has been very praiseful of him, but you still need to see him get out there and actually do it. And I know it's not, you know, it was good that it wasn't Tom Brady and you kind of get your feet wet.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's part of the process. I now feel much better about saying, okay, against the Steelers, you have your starting offensive line. It's the four guys that are returning and Isaiah Wynn.
Because you feel better about Isaiah Wynn now or Trent Brown last year at this time?
Trent Brown last year.
Still, right? Because
he was a veteran.
NFL player.
Veteran, and he had established himself as a right tackle.
But he was
talent.
Much better than I anticipated.
Oh,
like going into the year, he was fantastic.
And his conditioning, he was not very conditioned in August, and he still made it through the whole. I thought there were going to be times where you'd be like, we can't go hurry up because Trent Brown's sucking wind over there. He was fine.
No.
Like, did you ever once say,
never,
we can't do something because of Trent Brown? No, he fit right in.
He
and
was
that's
great.
Why he made $60 million. And my guess is that's what Scar will do with Wynn, and we'll forget that he has short arms and that he's not tall enough.
He's a guard.
He's got an Achilles. He's a guard. We'll say, oh, this guy's pretty good.
Huh? Solid. Solid left tackle.
Not missing a beat.
No.
He looked good.
Yeah. And 19 snaps, I think he got. And as Bill said, you build on it. But now there's something to build on. Because before this, it was, well, yeah, he was in the SEC.
Yeah, because unknown. Because Thursday night, you're going to be trying to keep Brady upright, we assume.
Yes. And the issues they had, I thought the backup offensive line struggled a little bit the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Hoyer got hit early. They had a couple little, like, runaway rushers. But Wynn wasn't really a part of that issue. It was more in the interior.
Yeah, it was across the
I think you're feeling good about the offensive line now, which you couldn't say a week ago.
And some of the other, my overall point about the younger talent, you've got some young kids who look like they can play.
How about Damian Harris?
Yeah, Damian Harris.
We were talking about, why didn't he play the first game? What's wrong with him? Oh, he's got a hand injury. What? Something smell funny here. Why is he not playing? And boom, you gave him the ball both through the air, which is interesting that Sony Michel didn't really do last year.
Although it seems like they're throwing a Michel in practice a lot more
this
year.
And I think they're going to be, you know, Dale's big on that they were very predictable last year.
They were. Every time James White was in, they were going to throw. Every time Sony Michel was in, they were going to run.
Yeah, so they'll change that up a little
bit. Not anymore. You don't know what you're going to get from this offense.
Well, now Harris jumps in there, right? And so keep those guys fresh or a little bit fresher.
Some of the cuts he made, just looks like an NFL running back. I know that's a dangerous
thing. The minute
game
he got the ball in his hand, you went, okay.
Yep.
Right.
He belongs.
I mean, what do you have, like 80 yards rushing?
It's like 5.7 yards of carry,
back,
something like that.
Set up a touchdown, caught a pass, squirted forward. I thought he looked really good. Yeah. I thought he looked – and you have to, because you have to have a little bit of concern about Sony Michel, the knee, and, you know, three knee issues in the course of, like, 10 months.
Right.
And can you rely on him? Now you have two guys. Now you have – if Sony Michel – A, maybe Harris is better. Who knows how you find out.
Could be.
But if Sony Michel's your workhorse and you're more of a run defense-type team like you looked like in the postseason, you're going to want to have two guys that you're comfortable handing the ball to and not named – James White or Rex right. Burkhead, or forcing those guys, Brandon Bolden, to something that they're not really suited
for. I still feel like the defense is better than the team's offense, although it's getting closer, right? Because, you know,
but
if you had Josh Gordon
looks
in,
really
well, the defense
good.
Is great, but the offense, you're like, okay, you feel better about the offensive line. Oh, the wide receivers look a little bit better. Oh, the running
and
back
about to look
got,
even better.
Right. Yeah, and the running back
when Edelman
just
is
got
back
deeper.
And Josh right. Gordon is back.
So it's still you have a hole at tight end. Okay.
So all these discussions we've had in May, June, and July were about the offense not being good enough. Yeah. We may not be
No, I mean, I always thought they were going to be good enough. It's just a matter of, you know, how are they top five in points? And are they top five in yards?
But can you win
like
with
that?
Defense?
In the NFL now?
Now. I mean,
I think you
they
might,
won
yeah.
the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you can.
Yeah, they didn't get to the Super Bowl because of their defense, though. Their defense sucked in the second half against the Kansas City Chiefs.
But I think they can. I think they're...
Without a consistent offense?
Yeah,
I think you have to have a consistent offense. Yeah, I think you have to be able to score when you need to score.
But
you're not going to just hold people down and say, nope, you're not going to score.
But defense and running game can win more than what it looked like. The way the league was changing and watching that Chiefs-Rams game, which I loved, 105 points in the game or whatever, and it's like, oh, my God, it's air raid. You know, it's old school Hawaii football. That's what it's going to be. That's not the case. You know, since then, the points went down a little bit. The playoff, the Super Bowl is a ridiculously low-scoring Super Bowl. So I think you still can win that way. But also, you sort of have the trump card of you have a quarterback who can make any throw that he needs. So it might only be one big throw
you
on
sure?
a drive. I think he can.
I haven't seen him throw yet.
I think he can. I feel good about him.
Maybe they're keeping you, does something smell funny? Why is he not playing?
You're not on Instagram? He throws all the time. He threw to himself like 10 times.
He actually threw a lot week. In Tennessee. In a very
a lot.
Rigorous week of practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about 12.
No.
What is this thing about pizza? Why is everybody worked up because he ate
He's
some
eating
pizza?
Yeah, because people make it out like he only eats like his bag of
like
nuts.
Grass.
And,
like,
well,
and
he
yeah,
used to make it out like that. He's backed off on that. He used to make it out like
he
that himself.
He said, I eat pizza. I just try to make sure it's
Since
good pizza.
Then, that was recent.
Right.
It used to be, and I think it was his chef that did an interview with The Globe that really painted the strawberries are bad and tomatoes are bad and that whole... Made it sound like he didn't
night
eat
shades.
Anything. Yeah, nightshades.
Yeah,
and this.
Nightshades.
And then Brady more
that
recently
sounds like
is,
an episode of Dork Podcast.
I get it on that.
Nightshades.
Sounds like Cinemax, but whatever.
Well, cover it all.
More recently, he has said, if I want pizza, you know, once in a while, I'm going to eat pizza, but
no,
I'm going to make
the
sure
great
it's good
line,
pizza.
In that Men's Health article, the great line was his friend who only eats the organic stuff. He says, you actually are doing more harm to your body by stressing out over what you're going to eat than just eating what you want to eat.
Oh, I got to use that line.
Yeah, well.
Give that a whirl.
Moderation. I would also stick with
that. Well, I try to stick with that. You don't.
Coffee during the day, beer at night. It's very simple, Andy.
I don't think either of those are good for you, really.
Actually, no. There's plenty of studies that say the more coffee, the merrier.
See,
that
Dale,
is true.
There's plenty of studies for just about everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
You and your helmet studies.
Well, it wasn't
well,
mine.
We talked to the helmet doctor earlier.
That he cleared that up.
Yeah.
So the whole thing here from a Patriots perspective, well, first of all, they entered training camp as the Vegas favorite to win the Super Bowl anyway. And... they just got one of the best wide receivers in football returned to their roster.
Well, they didn't get... I mean, I think we misportray him a little bit.
How
no,
so?
He's
one
of
the
one
best
of the
wide
best.
Receivers in the NFL.
He's one of the best.
What do you have to... Where do
Andy,
you have to
as you pointed out, he averaged 18 yards a catch last year.
So did Chris Hogan a couple years
ago. Are there 15 wide receivers better than Josh Gordon?
So he's an average receiver?
What, 15?
Yeah.
There's 32 teams in the league.
Right,
that
so
means you'd
the
be the number one
receiver.
That means
average.
You're the number one on a top half of the league. That's
so
pretty
is
good.
The 16th best quarterback one of the best quarterbacks in football?
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they only use one quarterback.
They use one quarterback.
I know, but...
That doesn't make any sense.
It does make sense.
Every
He's
team,
not one of the best receivers in football.
Every team starts 64
He's a good
receivers
receiver who you're
going to
be helped by.
Or there's 64 starting wide receivers minimum. Most teams have even more because their third receiver gets a lot of love.
Correct.
That's a lot of guys. So if he's top 15... That's pretty damn good.
I think that's a little NBA-like. Oh, he's a top five player. Yeah, you got 20 of those in your top five
I just
rank.
Said 15.
No, I know, but
I just
my
said
point
15.
Is...
Now, I don't even know if he is. I haven't done the exercise. I'm just saying...
I don't think he is.
He clearly has the ability to be top 15. Not everybody can say that. We haven't seen it consistently
maybe.
Enough, clearly.
Maybe.
He was maybe the best receiver, at least in the top three, a few years ago.
How many few?
Just a few. Just a few.
Six?
He's also well-rested.
He is well rested. I'll give you well rested.
Thank you very much.
What else you got?
He's tall.
He is tall.
Strong arm.
Strong.
See, you're even backing off because you know it's a little ridiculous to say he's one of the best receivers in football.
Yeah.
He's a really good receiver that's going to help this team.
Yeah, there's so many good
ones.
There's
a lot of really good receivers out there. When you start going down, Antonio Browns, OBJ, Landry, Hopkins.
I assume you think he's the second best receiver on this team.
Yes. Now, you get into that whole thing where they're so different.
Receiver's a receiver.
But that's why he's such a benefit. If he were Wes Welker coming back, I'd be like, well, you're kind of replicating Edelman.
Yeah.
No. You're giving the offense a breadth
of
weapons.
Different. Yeah.
That's why it's such a good fit. That's why I don't care that he's not one of the best receivers in football. He's a really good receiver who Brady trusts and likes and will throw him the ball. You know, that Colts game last year where Brady just chucked it up into the end zone into double coverage.
Yeah.
If I have that
on my
offense,
you're going to get a lot of that this year.
And I'll take it because he made the play and Brady trusted him to make the play. I think you will benefit from that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Still to come on a Patriots Monday here at Gillette, we'll talk to James White. We'll talk to Daron Harmon. Bill Belichick will be on with OMF later on today. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, but first trending now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
is the telephone number. We're down here at Gillette Stadium on Patriots Monday. Rich is back in the house.
That's right.
Andy Hart is joining us as well.
Still in the house.
So
can't get rid of me.
The first 2 weeks of preseason, the Patriots had joint practices, first with the Lions, then with the Titans. So Tom Brady got a lot of work during the week against the other team and other colored uniforms and all that stuff. Well, the joint practices are over. No joint practices this week against Carolina. None next week when they take on the Giants to close out the preseason. So he hasn't played either of the first two preseason games because he got his work in during the week. My guess is not only is he going to play Thursday night, I think he's going to play some in week four as well.
Yeah, he could. I mean,
bold
he could.
Prediction.
Maybe like a series or two or something
because
like that.
Because remember, this is we sometimes ignore the schedule, and I think Bill focuses on the schedule
a lot.
And the schedule this week was a short week, right? Coming to this Thursday night home game, coming off joint practices, that may have played a factor, among other things. He didn't have a lot of receivers out there. You're starting a left tackle who is new to this whole thing. You clearly didn't really want to start the rest of the offensive line, all of that. And then when we fast forward, they're not playing on a Thursday night, which usually they're playing on a Thursday night. So they have a regular slash shorter week where they're doing final cuts after the fourth preseason game, building a roster, claiming guys, practice squad. Now they have that elongated 10 days.
Yeah.
Careful. Don't get
it.
10 days. So that could play a factor into what you're saying, Dale. Maybe Brady gets in there for an unexpected series or two against the Giants to make sure
maybe
he hits the Steelers ready.
And maybe even Josh Gordon is able to play in that game.
Well, that would be part
still
of it, too.
Right? You gotta
my assumption is you'll see him against the Giants. Yeah.
And that might be a chance to get him out. Maybe Julian Edelman's available for that game, if not for the, you know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe you get a little cameo. Oh, here's the offense and what it's going to look like. Wins at left tackle. Gordon's out wide right in the slot. We got Edelman. This is what we're putting together. So I don't think it's the craziest thing you've said, Dale.
The other thing,
I've
said much crazier.
What is the craziest thing you've ever said on the radio? You probably want to forget it, huh?
I guarantee Rob Gronkowski's going to play again next year.
Although you're still hanging on to that one.
I'm still hanging on to that one.
It's not crazy when it's right.
I think it is.
I do, too.
You were pretty adamant that we've been to the moon. I remember that was pretty crazy.
I am sort of adamant
that, was kind of
that
a
we've
nuts
been to
thing.
The moon.
You don't believe we've been to the moon?
No, that's
yeah,
old
okay,
stuff.
I don't want to
get it started.
There was the other big takeaway, too.
Dinosaurs?
I'm in on dinosaurs. There's a all the years that they've done joint practices, it seems like they almost always get a player from one of those teams.
Yes.
Almost always, whether that player
you
gets
don't want
cut.
Anybody from Detroit.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Trey Flowers, you want to come back?
Yeah, I'll take him back. But you look for that, whether it's a trade, you know, before the season starts, or just a last minute cut and then they sign him. But that seems to happen over and over
again.
It's
like on Hard Knocks when the Rams went to work out with the Raiders and McVay's talking to Gruden on the field right off bases. You want to make a trade?
Yeah,
and Gruden, I think, said it, and McVay says, well, you know, let's take a look at things first.
McVay's like, I kind of like my team.
Right.
I'm good with my
really
guys.
I don't want anybody on your team.
I don't like your
Have
guys.
You looked at your roster? Did you see, speaking of McVay, did you see when he went live on the Rams sideline?
I thought it was so cool.
Very cool. When he, you didn't see it, Rich, did you?
I don't think so.
You have a little deer in headlights look. What are we talking about?
Yeah, live on the telecast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was breaking down his defense.
So they're talking to him.
Okay.
It's a famous announcer. Is it Matt Viskurgin or somebody
they got,
you know?
They got Mina Kimes. They have like a whole new team up
and
there now.
Yeah. They're talking to him. He took his headset. He's holding the coaching headset, and he puts a TV headset on, and
yeah,
he's talking
cool.
about the call. And then the one I saw was semi-short, but they actually go, so the defense has its three plays. They punt, and they go, any chance you want to stick around and talk about the offense? And he goes, yeah, sure, I'll stick around. But then the clip I saw on Twitter,
pretty good.
Went, I was like, so he's just going to hang out for two series now, and it was very cool
because
he's not calling plays this year. They have one of their backup coaches.
I could see Belichick doing that during one of the preseasons.
Excuse
What's
me?
That?
What's that? Doing what?
You don't think so?
He barely does the halftime interview.
No, that's true. No, he does
barely.
A lot of memorable halftime interviews.
So based
not
on,
for the right reasons.
Yeah. Based on what we saw Saturday night, who was calling the defensive play Saturday night?
I have no idea. I saw Tom Curran reporting that Mayo and Steve Belichick were alternating. I don't know if that's true or not true.
I will say it looked like that.
Yeah, but I don't know. They talk to the booth. I know the safeties coaches are often somewhat involved in personnel and different things there. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I will say those two, there was a 12 men. There was a penalty of some sort, a personnel question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they cut to the sideline, and those two were talking to each other and looking at each other like they were the ones semi-responsible for what the hell was going out on the field. You really think Bill would turn the play calling over to Steve Belichick?
No, but I think he's got to have somebody. He's got to have more than one option.
Yes, that is accurate.
Who's more ready for? I know neither are the defensive coordinator, but who's more ready for that?
Sorry.
Kind of role.
Mayo. I've said Mayo all along.
I would assume Mayo,
too.
Second, like, the playing has to, and playing that position specifically, has to gear you ready more so than coaching assistant, safeties coach, on to the next thing.
And I think he was more involved with game planning than you would have thought. Remember those videos of Tom Brady talking on Tuesday about this, I like this week. I think Gerard Mayo was part of some of those similar type meetings defensively when he played.
Yeah, that could be.
And I think that's part of the process. Now, people are hung up on, and I think it's understandable, he was doing media at this time a year ago,
yeah,
you know, like
sense.
8 months ago,
yeah,
whatever.
Tommy Kern.
Yes. And, you know,
what's wrong with that?
Which, by the way, they should have great promos and ads for their program. You know,
oh, my God.
Watch our program where the next Patriots defensive coordinator could come from and
Pretty
types
good.
Of things like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's just natural, especially the staff you have. There's no other real logical candidate other than Bill Belichick, and I don't think Bill wants to be one of these guys that's focused on one side
he
of the
ball.
He did
say he's doing more defense this year. That was something he said early on.
And
in
we've
camp.
Seen that on the sideline when he's getting together with the coaches and the Polaroids.
And we've seen him coach in the past. We've seen him go over to a defensive huddle and
about slants and in cuts.
But
guys,
it's also,
do your job.
What's fantastic is the talent. There's just so much of it on defense. Because if this was a year where you're not sure coaching wise, and you don't have Gilmore, you don't have the linebacking core, you don't have okay, then Belichick's going to have to completely take it over.
And the other side is true, too, with you have Tom Brady, a 42-year-old quarterback who's been in the system for 20 years, and Josh McDaniels. Is there a more nicely
paired... You could sort of leave them alone.
Right, do your thing, guys. I know there's issues over there. Not issues, but, your wide receiver's coach is new, and your wide receiver position is up in the air,
but you're
your quarterback and your offensive coordinator are in lockstep on the same page. So there's reason where you could maybe ignore that just a little bit. But I do think... I think it's going to be a work in progress defensively. I think there's going to be some ebbs and flows and probably some... Did you send that guy in? Who sent that guy in? What are we in right now?
The first month of the season seems to always be an adjustment. Always seems to be, all right, let's just see what happens. If you're 2-2, so be it. You can make it up because you're in the AFC East. And, yeah, that could definitely be the case.
That Carolina game a couple years ago, had Matt Patricia here. You had Brian Flores here, so you had two future coordinators, NFL head coaches here, and the defense still looked like it was lost out there, right? Remember?
Right.
Stephon Gilmore was like running in the wrong direction
like
on snaps and
bad signing, the whole thing.
So
and then that
it can
completely
happen.
Turnaround.
You could have a staff with continuity, and you know they're all been here 10 years, and it can happen. So will there be some growing pains? Probably. Do I think Jerod Mayo will call plays? Probably.
Yeah, that'd be my guess.
We brought this up late last week. I mean, you weren't here to talk about it, Rich. There seems little doubt in my mind that Troy Brown's about to become a coach on this staff.
Really does, doesn't it? I mean
see
him out there all the time.
Every day. Yeah. He's out, you know, and you know, as somebody, I think it was Tommy Curran tweeted this, if you're a wide receiver on this roster and that guy's telling you stuff,
yeah, you pay attention.
You might want to listen to that.
Right. And theoretically, the opening is there, even though you have Joe Judge as your receivers coach.
He's got other responsibilities as well.
Would you prefer a year to now to go back to Joe Judge as your special teams coach and Troy Brown as your receivers coach, that you felt it out for a year and see if he can fill the void?
Well, it's funny because after Pepper Johnson left all those years ago, there was the Patriots at one point were the only team in the NFL that didn't have a former NFL player on their coaching staff.
Really?
I don't know how many years that went in a row, but it was a long time. And you look at, you know, McDaniels and Patricia. Yeah, they played D3 college football, but so did you and me, Andy. So that doesn't really get you a whole lot.
That's my old fallback when people say, how can you question Belichick? Played in the same conference he did.
Correct. Right. And so that's the thing.
He's not out there.
And
he?
You look around the league.
Is he
duck!
Through the door yet?
And at the very least, there was a position coach that was, okay, they play this. So what a departure that would be. Now, first of all, just Jerod Mayo coming back. And then now potentially Troy Brown and two guys that were right there for you. So seeming, you know, going a little bit different direction.
I never knew if Troy had the urge. I always thought he had the knowledge. I always thought, you know, he was such a student of the game. He could play offense. He could play defense.
Right.
He was a smart football mind.
Right, and the job was there if he wanted it. Like, there's like a handful of guys like that.
I just never knew if he wanted to do it.
Right.
But I also think it's one of those things, you don't just have, you can't just have the urge. You got to have whatever goes beyond the urge to want to be here at 5:30 in the morning and then still be here at 10:30 at night on a Tuesday.
I don't think they do
Wednesday.
That as much as other staffs do.
I think they spend a lot of time here.
No, obviously they spend a lot of time, but they don't seem
on the 10 to 2 midday radio schedule.
It's a nice schedule. By 2:40.
Yeah, it's fine. I do think that that Belichick over the years has kind of developed a little more appreciation for the fact that, you know, you can't be here till you can't be sleeping on a cot in the coach's office.
Well, I also think that's a trend in the NFL. For a while, the trend was they tried to outdo one another.
Yeah, we sleep in the office.
I'm there 25
hours. How productive
is
that?
You can't be there 25 hours.
It's the kids in college that do the, I got an all-nighter.
Right.
You're not productive after one, so stop.
So we've seen now more of it. I think McVay is in this thing. I was telling you the other day that Bruce Arians put out this video in an interview where he said, if any assistant misses a game or a recital, I'll fire you. I will fire you on the spot.
Oh, like for your kids, you mean?
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
Now, I expect you to do your job,
recital.
So you may have to come back at 11:30 after you were gone for 3 hours for your youth
football
game.
It's like the story about Adam Gase a few years ago where his wife gives birth and it was a
C-section
and she wasn't even sewn back up and he was out the door.
And didn't he actually say something to the effect of like, we good here?
Yeah. Like, we good here?
You good?
Okay. Out the
not
door.
Not if you leave, we're not.
And she's
we're
like,
done here.
Yeah, right. But anyway, he's bragging about it.
Yeah, I think that trend has sort of gone. And Bruce Arians has been one of those guys forever that always talked about, I think he has like a cocktail on a Friday night, sort of the hay is in the barn and we don't need to keep working to find the next little skimpet of game plan. So I think that has trended in the other direction. I'm not saying they're going, you know, old ball coach and going golfing on Thursday.
No, that guy took it a little different direction there.
You know?
You still got to put the time in.
There's a certain amount of time you need to put
there's
in.
There's a balance.
Right. Diminishing returns, I believe.
Bill Belichick is at the podium right now. The assembled media down the hall here are trying to get him to comment on Josh Gordon.
How's that going?
It's going about as you might expect. Now, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
The Patriots' new roster that they released to the media today has number 10, Josh Gordon, wide receiver, listed on it.
I love that.
So he's on there.
I'm very excited.
But don't think this coach is going to talk about it.
But he's not on the active roster.
No.
He's on the reserve.
He's not allowed to be.
NFI roster.
So
he can practice.
At one point, Belichick was
asked. He can't practice.
No, he can't practice on NFI.
On NFI, you're not once you come, because NFI, now that he starts technically his training camp, even though it's later than everybody else, he can go on NFI to start the season. So he could miss the first 6 weeks of the season. They also would not have to pay him because he's on this NFI list. It's just like PUP.
But
he can come off it tomorrow.
But does Bill get to decide that, or does the league have to decide that?
No. NFI is a Patriot decision, and it's essentially a medical thing. Like, Julian Edelman's on NFI. He arrived at camp with an injury that wasn't deemed a football injury. He didn't do it in the confines of his job for the New England Patriots, and he's not ready to go. You could be on PUP or NFI for failing the conditioning run. You didn't pass your physical,
right,
basically. And then it keeps the window open to be on that list to start the season, which goes in that six games, and then you can be practicing after that, and they have a three-week window, whether they decide to activate you, blah, blah, blah. So right now, Josh Gordon is not on the active roster, cannot practice with the team, and it's a team decision, not a league decision.
Belichick was asked, have you met with Josh Gordon? His answer, I meet with the players every day. Question, how did he come in physically? Belichick, I released a statement on that. I have nothing to add on that. He would later add, did you get a copy of this? Yeah, let's hear it, Shai. Let's hear it.
Do you have to, is there also a message of there's only 2 weeks left of camp, like, you know, the train's starting to move and we need to get going pretty soon, and you know, whatever you need to do, the time is now to do it?
I think everybody's well aware of that, Ben. Unless they're living under a rock somewhere.
Have you had a chance to meet with Josh Gordon this morning?
I meet with the players every day.
You be in good spirits and excited about his opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I'll release a statement on that. I have nothing to add to it. That's where we're at.
Did he come in, and, you know, or how would you describe, did he come in good shape, or were you pleased with how he maintained
that? Yeah, I think I've already covered all of it.
Bill,
did you get a copy of the statement?
I saw it on Twitter, but it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, sorry, I mean, I don't do my face, but I mean, we're happy to give you a copy of it. It's really, that's where I'm at.
There you go.
You can hear when he's happy, and the one about have you met with Josh Gordon, and the little, yeah, you just lob one up. I can go back to the old faithful.
Yeah.
I meet with the players every day.
Yep, that's an easy one.
And it, he could have had a little fun there if he really wanted to with the I released a statement on that. I have nothing to add to that. Didn't you see the halftime interview during the game? now, that would have been funny.
Did not go there.
Steve Burton says, thanks, coach.
Now, so I don't
He will be on OMF later.
Yes, today. He will, and I can't wait for them to ask him about Josh Gordon. I don't think...
They'll get something out
of it. I don't read anything into this.
No.
It's just how he answers stuff with Josh
Bill
Gordon.
Bill Belichick 101.
I saw
he does not want to get into details
right
here.
The statement came out for the sole purpose so that he could reference the statement.
Because I did
it's
see
in his playbook. He's done it how many times over the years?
Over the weekend, some people were speculating that, trying to read into how he feels about Gordon in any way. And that's not here. That's not...
I don't know how he feels about anybody.
Right.
Never mind Josh Gordon, like the key one right now. I don't know how he feels about
you, me,
Christian Fourier, Tom Brady, anybody.
Yeah, I meet with the players every day.
There you go.
Every day. And he's like, jackpot, because I meet with all 90.
In your face.
All 90. So technically he met with
Jacob
Johnson. He met with Josh Gordon.
I don't care.
Right. They're all of them. They all sat there in that big team auditorium.
Yep.
That's like saying we talk to the listeners every day. We don't know which listener it is, but we're talking into this microphone. It goes to them.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number when the players are released and talking to the media. James White will join us. Daron Harmon will join us. We'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Very briefly, because it's Patriots Monday, we do football down here at Gillette Stadium, but I do want to at least mention for a moment Rafael Devers and the stuff this kid is doing. Now at 100 runs scored, 100 runs batted in. I think he's second in the league in hitting now, just behind DJ LeMahieu. This is an unbelievable run for a kid who's 22 years old.
Well, it's really a shame. I think if the team was better, there'd be real MVP buzz for him.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you can clearly win the MVP on a bad team like Mike Trout, but you have to put up Mike Trout numbers.
And his WAR isn't very good, right?
No, it's not like Mike Trout's.
Yeah.
No. But the season that he is having has really been one of the lone bright spots for a team that is 6.5 games out of the second wild card spot still. Yeah, Devers, every time he's up, it seems like he's getting a hit. Seems like it's an extra base hit or whatever. And also, remember how bad he was defensively a year ago? He's still, you're not going to confuse him with a
goal. He's a lot better, though.
He's better. Yeah, like he's better. He's closer to average now defensively, and then you combine it with the bat and the age and everything else. I think what it's also going to do, Dale, it's going to soften the blow when Mookie Betts leaves.
I knew you were going to say that.
But let's face
it. And it's right. You're right.
Because you're okay, you have a younger potential superstar.
Two $300 million right. players on your roster.
And I hate that. Like, he's 22.
I know.
And you already have to start talking about, oh, can you re-sign him? Right. What's he going to want? Like, can we just watch him and say it's awesome that he's really good?
So I'll even put the contract to the side. I'm just saying he's on the team. So when Betts is gone, like, oh, my God, how do you lose Mookie Betts? Which will be awful.
Well, what if you had both?
It would be nice.
And what if you go for 10 years with those two going 1-2 in MVP voting?
But if you have Bogaerts, Devers on the left side of your infield, that's as good a shortstop third base combo as there is in baseball and probably will be for the next decade.
Right.
So that's a little bit easier to sell. No, I know
Devers,
you love Betts.
Bogaerts,
I know.
Betts, you have as good a trio as anybody in baseball.
I don't think Betts wants to be here.
I don't really get that vibe.
That's another whole thing. But Bogaerts does, and he's under contract, and Devers is under control for a while, and he's having just an unbelievable year. Now, the thing will be, does he keep this up? Because Betts, we've seen go MVP year, not so much. Still good.
Right.
Then MVP year, and then a little bit of a drop off. So well, how consistent is he going to be?
This kid is still ascending. No. I mean, right. he really is. He's better defensively now than he was earlier in the season. His plate discipline has improved over the course of the season. He's actually still improving, and I know that's hard to believe based on what you've seen. I mean, we're talking about numbers that, you know, only Ted Williams has put up.
And, I know.
I mean, I think the last guy to get 100 and 100 below the age of 22 was like Miguel Cabrera or something.
Oh, probably.
I mean, it's like...
He's going down the road of being arguably the best hitter in baseball. He's never going to be Trout-like all around.
Well, he's not going to have the power of Trout.
Right.
He'll have good power.
No, but what is he? He's 3 home runs away from 30. Like that 30, right. That's a nice number. You know, you put up a 30 at third base. Like that is pretty serious.
And it's still, you know, just past mid-August.
Oh, yeah. Oh for sure.
Plenty of time to add to the numbers there.
He's got time.
But he's setting himself up for failure next year. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, how do you keep this
up? You
know,
it's like we talk about Patrick Mahomes. He is set up for a fallback season. He's probably not going to throw
40 touchdown passes. They're going to say, oh, what happened to him?
Right. Oh, defense has caught up to you. Well, did they? Did they really catch up to me? Or was it not realistic to think I was going to throw 50 in back-to-back years? And I think Devers is in the same spot. He doesn't, just because his numbers aren't as good next year, doesn't mean any pitchers have figured him out and the book got out on him in the offseason. No, it means there's a chance you're not going to be able to keep up silly numbers. It's not fantasy baseball. It's real baseball.
Right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Still to come, we'll talk to James White. We'll talk to Daron Harmon, both of the Patriots. We're down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. Head coach Bill Belichick will join Christian and Lou later on in the program. I'd say around 4 o'clock, somewhere in that vicinity, is when they'll be talking to the head coach of the Patriots.
Sounds good.
Based on what we've seen so far today, it'll be
a yuck
tsunami.
I need to get some answers about Josh Gordon, and these are the guys that'll get
him. Oh, they'll pull it out of
him. They'll get him.
Yeah, he won't just refer to the statement with them.
No way.
That's for just
the
normal.
He was saving it for them.
Yeah.
That's what I think it was.
The nuggets come from WEEI, baby.
That's coming up a little bit later. We'll get back to your calls in just a few minutes as well. Dale and Keith with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.